I want to talk to you this morning. This is kind of the end of the series. It seemed like it went on forever, but grace does go on forever, so I can't really stop the series, but we're going to change into a different area. But grace without borders, we've touched in different areas. We talked about healing grace, deliverance grace, messy grace. We've talked about all sorts of sustaining grace, sufficient grace. We've talked just about the power of grace in our lives, grace which is faith. And so we just kind of want to wrap this up because it is Christmas and Christ is the gift of grace. So this is more of a, you know, you heard the Christmas story. How many have heard the Christmas story? Right? If you were here last night, you heard it. In Luke chapter 2, and it talks about Jesus coming to earth and being born. This is going to be the theological Christmas story. What is it all about? And we sang most of what we're going to talk about here. And then partway through my sermon, all the little kids are going to come up and sing, and then I'm just going to kind of wrap this up. So, as you can see, it says, the gift that came by grace. And so we're going to look at Romans chapter 5. Interestingly enough, this was written years after Jesus was born and then crucified, so probably 70, 80 AD. And Paul wrote this. Paul wasn't really in the disciples and apostles original group, but God spoke to him, and you know the story about the change that happened in Paul's life. An amazing change, and it was an amazing action of grace. And so let's look at some of this here. Let's look at some of this if I can find it here. I love this. You're all set up in the morning and you think, I'll just come in here and look really sharp, really smart, and then it just all goes down. So I'm just like I am right now. This is the way I am. But I did come up with it here. So let's look at it. It says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been justified. We've been set apart from the darkness that we sang about into the light. Through this action, we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. So we stand in the midst of this grace. So think about this. This is a place where you are standing immersed in His grace. And somebody said, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And so we just sang that about Jesus coming to earth, and we sing those Christmas carols. But the word came that He laid down a lot. Can you think about that? Like, He laid down a whole bunch. I got to wander around here. I just can't stand still. He wandered. He wandered from heaven. But he came down. He became a man. Can you imagine God, of the creator of all the earth, the earth and everything that we know of, including us, chose to come to earth? How many of you are excited about Christmas? Right. How many are excited about presents you might get for Christmas? You guys are lying. You really are, especially the younger ones. We're anticipating this. Hey, you know, it's a countdown, right? I remember looking in Facebook about 3 months ago, and it said, for my friends who are suffering with insomnia, there's only 2 more sleeps till Christmas, which is kind of mean. And if you have insomnia, I didn't mean to, you know, be personal about that. But there's an anticipation about what you might get. How many have got presents under the tree already with your name on them? Yeah. How many know what they are because you've shaken them and squeezed them and maybe just accidentally torn the paper? Like, whoa, look at that. Because there's some anticipation about the present. Think about God, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus anticipating that day when he would come and give a present to the world of his creation. Think about that. And he waited a long time since the time Adam sinned in the garden of Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. That plan was a long time. Maybe we don't know for sure, but maybe 4,000 years, 4,500 years. And Jesus waited until the time was absolutely right. And we're not sure, honestly. We don't know whether it was December the 25th. Probably not. I hate to disturb you in your theology, but it might not be. It might have been later on in the spring. But the Romans, they thought it would be a good idea to kind of join this celebration with one that they already had going so that the people would kind of embrace it a little bit better. And so really December 25th is a pagan ritual that people used to get together and do. And you, I don't know, have you ever heard the stories about, well, you shouldn't have a Christmas tree because it's evil? Well, maybe some of you feel that way. When we were in Italy, that's a big, strong thing. You don't have Christmas trees. There's a fight about Christmas trees because they're a pagan symbol. But then there's the other side that says, hey, you know what? It's green, evergreen, talks about eternal life. I don't get hung up on it. All I get hung up on is the plastic one costs $100 now. All right? That's what I get hung up on. I don't get hung up on the lights. Well, you know, they're to ward off evil spirits. Well, you know, actually there were candles and now we got lights because if you light your tree with candles, you'll light your house. That's the way it goes. You won't get insurance and all those kind of things. So things have changed, but the purpose, can you imagine God waiting to give this gift to us through his son, knowing that this gift was going to cost Jesus his life? I can't comprehend that. God, the creator of all things, who's eternal, put on the flesh, which is called a hypostatic union, which is big, you know, $100 words for the flesh and the spirit being one, and then chose not to walk in the spirit in Jesus, the spirit, but instead allowed the Holy Spirit to come into him so that we could all walk together the same. He could be our example. Do you understand that? Do you follow that? Because he was fully God and fully man. Can you imagine, or try to imagine, that this Jesus that we love so much and that we sing about and that we care for and he cares for us came to be like us? So how do you look at that? Well, like, did he have a tricycle? Did he have Pampers? Sometimes we make him clinical so that, no, he's just a little holy guy that didn't do anything. He didn't get any bumps or scrapes or anything. He got it all. He was just like us. Grew up, had some struggles, probably had a few words with Mary. Well, you think not? Have you ever had a few words with your mom? I did, and then soon I became unconscious. But I still tried it. Yeah, so I don't think that Jesus didn't have, I just kind of think that he was like us in a lot of ways. I don't think he sinned. Well, I know he never sinned. Because he was made sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right? So he didn't sin, but he was tempted in every way, it says. So we can relate to him. And so it says, as we continue on, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Suffering. I'm not too up on suffering in my own personal life. I guess when I think about it, maybe I did suffer in my childhood because it was a pretty dysfunctional family. But I didn't suffer like I've even heard when I was in Italy about the suffering that goes on just to be a Christian. And so Paul again writes this in Philippians. He kind of wrote letters all over the place. He would have just texted now. But he wrote letters in those days, and I'm glad because sometimes I can't save my text, but we have his text. And so in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings in his sufferings and become like him in his death and so somehow attain to the resurrection of the dead. I want to know the power of Christ. I want to know that. Do you want to know that? That is in the grace. We know that there's power. You can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You can cast demons out. You can bring the word of God into people's darkness and they can come into the light and they can find Jesus. And they can find new life that lasts forever. That's the power. But to get there, you need to find out the fellowship of his suffering. That doesn't mean we're all going to be martyred. In North America, we live a pretty suffer-free life. But other countries, and some of them your home countries, that's not the truth. And even when you lay your life down to become a Christian, because Christ laid his life down, that means you're separated from family. And that's a big cost. But if you're going to walk in the power of God, you have to understand the cost. Like our sister said, there's a cost. I laid down my life. It's cost me. And we kind of don't think that. It's just like when we get Christmas presents. How much do they cost? You know, like visa bills at the end of January are not very much fun to, you know. Like, I bet you some of us avoid getting the mail then, right? Well, I'll just walk by the mailbox. There's probably nothing in there for me. You know, those little white envelopes with the windows. That says, they don't say it in the window, overdue, but inside it says, you know, because it's to the maximum. We need to understand the cost is not financial for Jesus. The cost was life. And we need to give our lives to him who laid down his life for us. So because we know the suffering, that suffering produces perseverance. Hang in there, going through your suffering. Perseverance develops character, doesn't it? You know, character is something that really comes out when you're under pressure. I've probably said this here before, but if you push an orange up against the wall here, what should come out? Orange juice. When you push Jim Caruso up against the wall, what should come out? Jesus, hopefully. Sometimes I lead him out. I go out before, and it's not a pretty sight. We want to get to the place when we're pressured that Jesus comes out of our life. And that people see that, and I don't do it all the time, and I shared a few stories about while I was preaching this message on grace that I wasn't so graceful to a few people here in Richmond. And because that's when I was pressed against the wall and Jesus didn't come out first. Jim Caruso did. So when you get the character built, it's amazing because then you start to reflect the fruit of the Spirit. And character builds hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out in your hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Awesome. This is the theology. This is what it's about. It's not about a little baby coming and laying in a manger and then all the stories that go along with it and we all give presents. It's about this here, that he laid his life down. And then as a result of that, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that gave him power and raised him from the dead. If it dwells in you, it'll quicken or give life to your mortal body. Awesome. Because we're not going to walk in this mortal body forever. And some of us are going, amen to that. I want to drag this thing around eternity. I want a new one. I want a new model. Hallelujah. You see, just at the right time. We wonder, like, when is the right time? It was the right time for Jesus. When we were still powerless. Think about that time before you came to Jesus. you weren't in control. You didn't have power. Christ died for the ungodly. Hard to believe that we were ungodly, because that's pretty good. Hung around a lot of ungodly people. No, really, I was an ungodly just as anybody else. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, simple, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the theology of Christmas. That's the theology of Jesus' birth. Now we're going to have the children's ministries come up, and they're going to sing a few songs. Are they coming? Pastor Tricia, you want to move up? I'm just going to read a couple more scriptures here while they're coming up. So come on up. So since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we are God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, even while we are separated from him, he was still pursuing us. He wanted us. How much more being reconciled shall we be saved through his life? Not only in this, but also we boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received that reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through the sin, in this way death became to all people because all have sinned. Awesome. We'll pick this up after we have this wonderful group of people. You guys are awesome.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Oh, Merry Christmas, Michelle. Thank you for that wonderful response and greeting. I have the privilege of working with the kids, and some of you I know very well, some of you I maybe haven't met before, but I'm so glad that you're here today. And these kids have been working really hard on a couple of songs, and my toddler apparently is joining the choir today, so that'll be fun. But we are so excited to celebrate Christmas with you, and we pray this morning as you watch what these kids have to sing and to say to you that you will see the joy that it is to be welcoming Jesus, especially at this time of year, as well the joy that it is to serve him. And if you guys are ready up top, we can go ahead with number 47.
It was a clear and starry night on a quiet hillside near the town of Bethlehem. Three shepherds, Shelly, Smelly, and Telly, were watching over their sheep. The sheep were restless. They lay down and then got back up. They ate grass. They walked back and forth, so the three frazzled shepherds couldn't just relax and watch the campfire. One ewe even tried to wander off. See the ewe sneak away from the other sheep?
I know what you mean, Smelly. In the past 6 weeks, I've worn out two pairs of sandals, fought off three bears, one hungry lion, and sheep in wolf's clothing.
Telly, don't you mean wolf in sheep's clothing?
I have very creative sheep.
Every time I try to count sheep, I fall asleep. It takes on my wool power just to stay awake.
I know what you mean, Shelly. And how about the way people treat us? You'd think we were criminals. Last week, I fell into a pit, and not one would help me out until they realized my dog fell in, too. They felt sorry for the dog, but they wouldn't leave without me. I guess I just want to give up. Why try?
When the Messiah comes, things will be different.
Oh, right. Our people have been waiting for the Messiah for 400 years. When he comes, he'll probably only help the rich people. Poor shepherds like us won't even know he's here.
While they were feeling sorry for themselves, the shepherds didn't know that something really amazing was happening. Suddenly, they saw a great light. An angel appeared.
Ta-da!
glory of the Lord shone all around them. They were sore afraid. Smelly and Telly backed up and fell to their knees, but Shelly just stood there.
Hey, Shelly, aren't you afraid?
Sort of.
Never I didn't say you were sort of afraid. You're sore afraid. That means you're a whole lot afraid.
Uh-oh.
Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news. A baby is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. You will find him wrapped in clothes lying in a manger.
Suddenly, a great number of angels appeared in the sky. They praised God out loud.
Praise God.
They smiled and said, glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest.
They waved their arms in the air and shouted, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.
And on earth peace to whom his favor rests.
When the angels were gone, the shepherds talked among themselves.
Answered our prayers. God didn't just tell rich people, he told us little guys too.
Let's head into Bethlehem and see that baby.
They hurried off to see the baby. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby and bowed down. On their way back, they told everybody about what they'd seen. They shouted so loud that even the sheep woke up and paid attention.
We're not kidding. The Lord has been born. Angels told us all about it.
We've seen the Christ child of Bethlehem.
When they got back to the fields, they were glorifying God.
You're the best, God. We love you, God.
They praised God for all the things they got to see. They praised God because God did what he said he was going to do.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Okay, kids, you want to stand up? We are ready to sing. Even though we did it inside out, it's going to be awesome. Okay, stand up. We're going to do track 47. We've got the words on here. If you want to celebrate with us, you absolutely can. Thank you. Awesome. And if we can get 58, we'll just have them sing their other one right now.
Wow. Isn't that great? We don't get to see that often because Pastor Tricia and the team are usually out of the congregation when we're having Sunday morning, so it was great to see them, and they did a wonderful job. I just want to end with this verse. We'll just go right to verse 17, if you would. And then we're going to, I think, have a special thing for the kids just as we wrap this up. So, talking about this gift of grace, do you remember what grace is? Grace is receiving something you don't deserve. Anybody ever received that? Like, you got like a little tolerance when you should have got a fine? Have you ever had that policeman pull you over and then you just know you're done, eh? Remember going through a construction zone with Elaine. We were heading up to do some ministry, and sometimes your foot's a little heavier than it should be. And I'm going through this construction zone, and you know what the signs say there? Fines are twice as much. And, I mean, this was in the middle of nowhere. I don't even know why this guy was out there. But anyways, he was, and I was, and we met. Because he has lights that say, pull over, I want to talk to you. And so I pulled over, and he comes up, and he's probably, just probably near retirement anyway, and he comes up very gentle, and he goes, did you see the signs coming in here? And I honestly, no, because I was going so fast, right? But I didn't tell him that part, but he already knew that. Anyway, so he says to me, there's a construction zone here, and that right away goes, you know, whatever the fine is, like $200, $400 right there, eh? This is an expensive trip already. So I'm sitting there, and he comes up, and he says, just a minute. I have to go back to the car. Oh, I hate that, because I've been in the police car as a chaplain when they've gone up and come back to the car, and they either adjust the prices sometimes, you know, like maybe it was 200, now it's going to be 280. And so I'm sitting there, and he comes back up, and he goes, I just want you to know that it's very dangerous to be driving through this construction zone at that speed. And so I'm going to give you a warning. Oh. Now, a warning at the regular speeding is one grace. I receive double grace. That's exactly what we get from God. We got double grace. Adam sinned and separated us from God. We have sinned because our nature is sinful. And so we sin, and that grace that Christ gives us through his birth and death is exactly why we can be in right standing with Christ. So it says in verse 17, for if by the trespass of one man, who was Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace, abundant, abundant. It says in Galatians that he lavishes upon us his grace. And I kind of get this picture of this big vat of grace and this ladder that goes up. And the vat's bigger than this room. And Jesus goes up this ladder with a big ladle on the back of his backpack. And he gets up to the top and to the edge of that big ladle or that big vat, and he takes big ladlefuls and pours it on us. That's the way I look at this lavished grace. And the gift of righteousness reigned in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So we have righteousness through Jesus Christ because he came as a man and died on the cross that we might be in right standing with God. That's the Christmas story, theologically. That's the truth. And do not ever let the devil tell you that that's a lie. You are in right standing with Christ when you know him. So what are you going to get for Christmas? Or what are you going to give for Christmas? Are you going to give your life back to him? Are you going to receive his gift and give your life so that you can live eternally with him in heaven? Let's bow our heads. Father, we just want to thank you today because we're excited about Christmas. We're excited about presents. We are excited, totally, to be part of this family. But maybe there's someone here today who doesn't know you personally, who has never received that gift that we just talked about. The gifts that we're going to get at Christmas, they're a reflection of the gift that you gave us. But that gift cost a lot. It cost you laying down your life, dying in a very painful way, so that we could live. And so I pray right now, as your Holy Spirit moves through this congregation, that you would speak, Holy Spirit, into the hearts of maybe somebody who just hasn't ever received that gift. Move right now, I pray. May that heart just open up and say, I need you, Jesus. I really do. And I'll tell you what I'll do, Jesus. Because you gave me this, I'll give you my life. And I'll find myself part of your kingdom of light instead of fighting the darkness for these years. And maybe you're struggling with, you've been there, you've made that commitment, but you've fallen away, or just it's been really dry. I just really pray right now that Holy Spirit, that you would minister in the lives of those who are struggling right now. This is a tough time for some people at Christmas. Holy Spirit, come into their lives. Let them know that you're there, that you want to refresh them and encourage them and bless them. You want to come into their lives and bring joy, joy that runs deep inside of them. And I pray right now that they would receive that in the name of Jesus. And so we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for what you're doing. And if you've said those prayers, and it's very simple, just say, Jesus, I need you. I need you to forgive my sins. I need you to come into my life. And just when you say that, that's exactly what he does, because that's what grace is all about. Amen.